was awesome. Wow. Well, welcome to the May Board of Trustees. Do we have to call a roll again?
Nope.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask President Easter to take over the meeting.
Thank you, Chairman Kennedy. And I would like to introduce university officers and other leaders with us today, beginning with Mr. Lester McKeever. If you'd raise your hand, Mr. McKeever, treasurer of the board. Also with us, Paul Allen Mears, chancellor of the Chicago campus, Chancellor Phyllis Wise from the Urbana campus, and Susan Cook, who's hosting us here on the Springfield campus today. Thank you for being here. Other university officers are at the next row. They begin with Christophe Pierre, Vice President for Academic Affairs. Christophe, Walter Noor, Comptroller and Chief Financial Officer of the University, and Larry Shook, Vice President for Research. And Jerry Bauman is with us or not? Jerry had a pharmaceutical college meeting that he was had to leave for, I believe. Tom Barrows, University Counsel, is to my left. Cappy Lang is with us just here. Government Relations, Tom Hardy, who is Public Affairs, is with us, Director for University Relations. And then Susan Keyes, Secretary of the Board, is here at the table with us. We also have representatives from the Senates on each of our campuses. Lynn Fisher represents the Springfield campus. Dr. Fisher, are you in the room just over here? And Joyce Tolliver from the Urbana campus. Joyce is not with us. Roy Campbell is representing the Urbana campus. Sarah Agate from the Chicago campus, a graduate student in the School of Public Health. And Teresa Zabo, representing academic professional staff from Springfield, is here with us today. Just a couple of words. We are in the midst of graduation. I shook hands along with Chancellor Allen Mears and Mr. Montgomery with about 1,200 students or more last Sunday afternoon in Chicago, and then I realized that was only about 5% of the 20,000 or more students we will graduate this year. This is the third year that we will have awarded more than 20,000 degrees. It's quite an accomplishment for the University of Illinois writ large. As you know, we're making progress on the pension system, and I just want to acknowledge publicly, Mr. Chairman, our appreciation on behalf of the staff and faculty for the effort you and members of the board have extended to engage with legislative leaders and others to minimize the harm done to our employees and dealing with the changes that are being implemented in the pension.
You've got a great team led by Avijit Ghosh, who makes all of our work easy. So
well,
thank
it's,
you.
It truly is a partnership, and it's I think one that's worked turned out to be very effective in the process. And thank you for providing that leadership, and thank you also to not only the board but the alumni who will be part of the Illinois Connection effort later today as we go to talk to members of the General Assembly and the leadership. Our challenge is at the moment is ensuring that our budget remains at least flat. We'd love to see an increase in our state appropriation, but given the financial challenges within the state, if we could hold constant with what we received last year, we will be indeed fortunate. So thank you for truncating, if you will, or moving this board meeting along quickly so we can have time this afternoon to do that. Thanks again.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Maybe we'd ask Tom Hardy to – Tom, are you –
He's right here.
I'm sorry, Tom. There you are. To introduce the members of the press who may be here today or on the phone.
Sure. Reporters who are here today include Hannah Mysel of the Illinois Public Radio. Hannah, by the way, is a Urbana alumna and worked for the Daily Illini while she was a student there. Also joining us is Christine Deggerin of the Champaign News Gazette. And following us on video stream today are reporters from the Chicago Tribune, Sun-Times, and Associated Press.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Before we get too deep in the agenda, maybe I'd ask our host, Susan Cook, to say a few words about what's happening here in Springfield.
Thank you, Chairman Kennedy. It's my pleasure to welcome the Board of Trustees to the Springfield campus of the University of Illinois today. My remarks are necessarily brief, but I want to say first that I'm so pleased you had the opportunity last evening to spend time in one of our state's greatest cultural assets, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum, and to hear from one of the University of Illinois Springfield's greatest intellectual assets, the Naomi B. Lynn Distinguished Chair in Lincoln Studies, Professor Michael Burlingame. Dr. Burlingame's presence at UIS has raised the stature of the campus nationally, has enabled us to convene on a regular basis other prominent Lincoln scholars and teachers, has strengthened our curriculum, and has increased our collaboration with the Presidential Library and Museum and other historical organizations in Illinois and beyond. And we greatly appreciate his contributions. We've had a productive year here at the Springfield campus, and we have remained intently focused on our three strategic priorities: growth in both enrollment and reputation, the recruitment and retention of talented faculty and staff, and providing the facilities needed to support a comprehensive student learning and living experience. I'm pleased to report that despite our challenges, we're making progress on all fronts, and I'll be continuing to report to you regularly. By last count, there are 1,364 students slated to complete their degrees here at UIS this spring. We'll be celebrating commencement with our graduates, including Trustee Jamal Hollins, with faculty, staff, family members, dignitaries, and about 7,000 of our closest friends this Saturday in the Prairie Capital Convention Center downtown. You have copies of the commencement issue of our student newspaper and a copy of my recent State Journal Register UIS Perspective column before you, both of which feature graduation stories. We'll also be honoring this Saturday local business leader and philanthropist Evelyn Brandt Thomas, co-founder of the multi-million dollar Brandt Industries, with the honorary degree Doctorate of Humane Letters. If Evelyn were here today, she would proudly tell you that she is 90 and one half years old, and she still drives to work every day. Keyword, drives. I'm privileged to serve as chancellor at the campus where leadership is lived every day, and I'm grateful for the strong support of my colleagues throughout the UI organization, President Easter, and this board. Thank you, and again, welcome.
Thank you, Susan. That it was an extraordinary dinner last night. I think everybody who was there thinks it was one of the highlights of their year, and certainly I enjoyed it more than most, I think, and really had a good time, so I appreciate your great hospitality. I think at this point we're going to go to the committee reports. We're going to ask Ed McMillan, as chair of the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee, to report out first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The meeting of the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee was held at 1 p.m. on May the 5th. Members of the committee present constituting a quorum were Trustees McMillan, Courts, Montgomery, Strobel, Cunningham, and Hollins. Also, Treasurer McKeever was present. Student trustees Cunningham and Hollins were acknowledged and thanked for their service on the committee, and we appreciate the active involvement. The minutes of the committee meeting of February 24th were approved without corrections or additions. Associate Vice President Maureen Parks made a presentation on the money purchase option. Vice President Walter Knorr made a presentation on the proposed preliminary operating budget for fiscal year 2015. Vice President Knorr also presented the proposed renewal of services and management agreements for the University of Illinois Alumni Association and the University of Illinois Foundation for fiscal year 2015. Senior Associate Vice President Mike Bass presented four capital projects and two leases for consideration. Executive Vice President Heather Habernacker presented five purchase recommendations and five contract renewals for consideration. Executive Director of University of Audits, Julie Zamaitis, presented the third quarter internal audit report. In addition, Vice President Knorr updated the committee on the status of state appropriation receivables and monetary assistance program payments. Also on the release of the governor's budget calling for a flat funding for fiscal year 2015. And the inclusion of supplemental appropriations requests for 2014 for the hospital's Medicaid Trust Fund. In addition, he notified the committee that the Medical Center received its 2014 Medicaid rate letter from the Senate supporting the retroactive adjustment to Medicaid revenues for the fiscal year. He also informed the committee of the successfully completed meetings with the Legislative Audit Committee, approving the fiscal year 2012 financials, compliance, and management audits, and the Senate and House Appropriation Committee hearings for fiscal year 2015. Lastly, Vice President Knorr informed the committee about the expected release date for the university's 2013 compliance audit report of the proposed state legislation. An executive session was held to discuss recommendations to disclose certain minutes of executive session pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, and the meeting remarkably adjourned at 2:10 after all that. 10 items for board's consideration today are recommended to the full board. They are item 15, preliminary operating budget for fiscal year 2015, item 16, fiscal year 2015 agreement with University of Illinois Alumni Association, item 17, fiscal year 2015 agreement with the University of Illinois Foundation, item 18, project for the gas boiler, replacement phase two at the Abbott Power Plant in Urbana. Item 19, budget increase for the Curtis Granderson Stadium in Chicago. Item 20, a budget increase for the public safety building in Springfield. Item 21, project budget for the Learning Center space renovation College of Medicine in Chicago. Item 22, lease for the College of Nursing in Urbana. Item 23, lease for the UIC College of Medicine in Chicago. And item 24, the purchase recommendations. The next meeting of the committee will be held Monday, July 14th at 1 p.m. And that concludes my committee report, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Ed. We'll hear now from Trustee Pam Strobel from the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee.
Thank you. Our committee met on May 1st via video conference with Trustees Fitzgerald, Hasera, Montgomery, Leibowitz, and myself in attendance. First item we did was to approve the minutes, and then we turned to reviewing the items that are recommended in today's agenda for board consideration. There are items 1 and 2, which are appointments to the faculty, administrative, professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff, and appointing a dean of the College of Education in Chicago. We then also heard briefly from Dr. Keyes regarding the Open Meetings Act regulations that mandate that minutes from business conducted under exceptions in the Act must be reviewed at least every 6 months to determine whether the need for confidentiality still exists. We met in executive session to discuss the recommendation pertaining to the release of sequestered minutes, and we voted in open session to approve the recommendation to disclose certain minutes pertaining to one matter discussed in executive session pursuant to the Open Meetings Act. Mr. Tom Hardy, Executive Director for University Relations, provided us with a report on calendar year 2013 FOIA activities. He summarized the report and commented on the upward trend in FOIA activity. We then heard from Ms. Maureen Parks, the Associate Vice President for Human Resources, who provided us with a presentation on expanding the use of criminal background checks at the university. She reviewed current policies and procedures pertaining to the use of criminal background checks and discussed training related to the Illinois Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act. She also discussed the Best Candidate for the Job Act, a proposed state law, and provided an overview of the development of a criminal background check policy. And we will continue to hear more from that as the work unfolds on that committee. Ms. Parks also gave a presentation on changes to the money purchase option used in the calculation of employees' retirement annuities resulting from the pension reform law. This was also discussed at the Trustee McMillan's meeting of the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee. Dr. Shook provided us with a presentation on the university's conflict of commitment and interest policy and discussed the process for managing conflicts for the president, university officers, and trustees. Under old business, President Easter gave the committee an update on the chancellor search and said that it is on schedule. We also discussed the presidential search, which is in its preliminary stages. Under new business, we briefly discussed the July retreat and its focus on the biggest questions facing the university, involving a smaller group this time participating in a focused discussion. Our next meeting is scheduled for July 10th at 1 p.m. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I love this meeting. maybe we'll ask Tim Quartz to report on the University Healthcare System Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we have an abridged schedule today, my report will be brief. The University Healthcare System Committee met on the afternoon of May 5th via video conference. I was joined by Trustee Estrada. Unfortunately, Trustee Fitzgerald was unable to attend due to a prior commitment. First, I'd like to applaud our hospital team for the continued decrease in infection rates from central lines and urinary tract catheters. The rate has been cut in half for both over the last 2 years, so great results for their targeted emphasis on these issues. Our ambitious facilities projects continue on schedule. Notably, air handling and electrical upgrades are complete and had no impact on hospital operations while being done. Our short stay unit opened in April, which frees up more ward beds for longer duration admissions. And the next major step is an emergency room renovation to help expedite care in that venue. Regarding finances, DCFS informed us of a drop in inpatient rates going forward for Medicaid, down to $3,030 from $3,900 per day, almost a 25% cut. This pertains now and actually into fiscal 2015 and led to a $3 million shortfall in March. Unabated, this predicts a $40 million shortfall for fiscal 2015. There is a multiple-pronged attempt to deal with this problem. First is expense management, and one glaring example is in labor costs. Dr. Becker stated, I hope I'm paraphrasing this correctly, that we have a two standard deviations above the mean cost for labor compared to our peers, and this refers to all labor exclusive of physicians. Of critical importance to our success is to increase our volume. And there are basically two facets which were mentioned in the committee. Regarding the recent legislative changes, both federal and state, we are about to launch UI Health Plans, which is a capitated Medicaid HMO. The more covered lives we have should equate to increased revenue for our system. Dr. Wynn then gave us a presentation on Miles Square, a federally qualified health center with whom the university shares governance and financial risk, I might add. Miles Square could also serve as a huge referral base for our hospital and has the added plus of potentially increased remuneration in federal dollars due to the FQHC status. Finally, pertinent agenda items, numbers 9 through 14 and 21 through 24 were discussed and no objections were raised, and I'll just read those quickly. Starting with number 9, establish the Bachelor of Science in Rehabilitation Sciences, College of Applied Health Sciences, Chicago. Establish the Doctor of Philosophy in Rehabilitation Sciences, College of Applied Health Sciences, Chicago. Establish the Clinician Executive Master of Healthcare Administration, School of Public Health, Chicago. Transfer the Doctor of Occupational Therapy from the Graduate College, Chicago. Transfer the Doctor of Nursing Practice from the Graduate College, Chicago. And appoint member to the Advisory Board Division of Specialized Care for Children, DSCC, in Springfield, Chicago. We also reviewed items also covered in ABFF. Number 21, increased project budget for Learning Center Space Renovation, College of Medicine, Chicago. Approved lease for UIC College of Nursing, located on the Urbana-Champaign campus, Chicago. Approved lease for UIC College of Medicine, Chicago, and pertinent purchase and renewal options recommendations. Our next meeting is scheduled for roughly 2:30 on July 14th, whenever ABFF concludes. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim, I had an opportunity to speak with the president and a couple of the president's advisors about various matters, and Brian Becker came up, and I just wanted to share with you the notion that the senior team really values his presence at the hospital, the insight that he provides, the energy that it seems like it's boundless, right. And the great leadership. So if you could share that with him, that
will
would,
do. Thank
that,
you.
That would be great. Could you explain a little bit more about the DCFS issue?
Okay.
Or do we want to ask?
Maybe, I don't know, Walt can maybe give better details than me, but basically, for patients who are covered by Medicaid, which is a state-run program, if they're inpatient in the hospital, we receive payment at a set rate per day while they're inpatients. And the rate at which we're paid has been cut, and going forward will remain at the lower rate for all of fiscal 2015, as best we know, I believe, from 3,900 down to 3,030, which is, like I say, almost a 25% cut. So that we have a high percentage of Medicaid patients, so that has a big effect on basically our influx of cash to as payment for patient care.
And is that change affecting every hospital that accepts those patients, or just us?
You know,
it's just our letter.
I think it's just us, because we're like basically the only state hospital in the state, so we have a different status compared to, say, Rockford Memorial Hospital, that may have inpatients of Medicaid patients, but is not a entity of the state.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the letter that I referred to with, you know, with the ABFF, that was essentially for March back to July 1. And that's the $3,900 rate, you know, very high cost that we have, and basically allowed us to book additional revenues. Again, the concern being the supplemental appropriation, not us even cash, you know, to actually realize that receivable that was created, about $43 million. Now, from March going forward, we have the new rate, which is down to $3,100, which basically is going to throw off a very fairly significant challenge to us to basically balance the against that.
But the state's basically shifting a $30 million problem from one agency to another.
I mean, I don't know that I can comment on the motivations of the state, you know. And
that's the reality.
Yeah, that's reality.
Okay. We'll add that to the list. Something to talk to everybody about this afternoon when we're over at the State House. So, thank you. Are there any other questions?